going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark 5. Mark, the fifth chapter. It's good to see new people coming in, visitors tonight. We're always glad to have our visitors. Glad you're here. Mark 5, verse number 1. And they came over the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us unto the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I'd like to bring a message tonight on the man that no one could tame. The man that no one could tame. This text sets in the middle of several hopeless situations. Just prior to this event, we see Jesus and his disciples were out on the sea during a tremendous storm. The disciples were certain that they were going to die. In their minds, they were in a hopeless situation. And all of us, probably at one time, maybe many times in our lives, we felt like we were in a hopeless situation till Jesus came on board. Those men were seasoned fishermen, but they were helpless to solve the problem that they had. But that storm out on the deep was no problem to the master of the sea. Thank God Jesus is the master of the sea. He calmed the storm, and thank God he calmed the men that was in the ship. Now Jesus moves into another set of impossible situations. He encounters a man that's demon possessed. This man was possessed by thousands of demons. He cannot help himself. The people around him are helpless. They can't do one thing for him. After this, Jesus will deal with the diseased woman. And after that, in this chapter, he deals with the dead girl. All four of these situations appear hopeless from a human perspective. Amen. Yet each of these cases, Jesus proved himself to be the master of every one of them. If that demon-possessed man were alive today, we'd send him to the mental institution. If that diseased woman was alive today, we'd send her, amen, to a terminal care ward, and we'd call hospice to take care of her. If that dead girl was here today, we'd send her to the cemetery. And as we move through this chapter, we're going to discover that Jesus is not only the master of the deep, amen, the master of the demonic, the master of disease. Thank God he's the master of death. Amen. From death to life, he lifted me. Praise God. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but he raised us from the dead. Amen. And so he will demonstrate his power over all the situations and problems and difficulties and the dangers. Today we want to take a trip with you to a cemetery. Amen. We want to watch Jesus demonstrate his power in the spiritual realm. Amen. We want to watch him deliver a man in a hopeless spiritual possession and also bondage. As we watch the Lord deliver this poor soul, let's keep in mind that he can move in our lives with the same power. Amen. This man, Jesus, he hadn't lost any of his power. Amen. He can still work in our lives today. Amen. I like to think of this man, I guess the best word we could use to describe him would be a maniac. The definition for a maniac is a person exhibiting extreme symptoms of wild behavior. That's a pretty good illustration, definition of this man. Amen. That's exactly what we have here before us. This man is so out of control that even to be defined in human terms, it's just so bizarre. It's so far beyond what we would imagine. Christ, he's still in the business tonight of breaking chains that's got men bound. He's still in the business of working out hopeless situations. And in audience this size, there's several of us that's in hopeless situations. We can't do one thing about it, but there's a God in heaven that can still take care of hopeless situations. So I want us to consider this man. The man that no one could tame. Mark 5:2, and when he was come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This story opens, and we're told that this man is held fast in the grip of the devil. Amen. I just want to say we love everyone, but there's people here right now. You know what? You're being held by the very grip of the devil. You may not want to admit that, but that's true. If you're not saved, you're being held by the grip of the devil. when Jesus and his disciples come to this most Gentile region of the Gerasenes, amen, they met this man whose life had been destroyed by demonic infestation. Satan is the master of his life, and he's in a state of hopelessness and helplessness. We're told that he has an unclean spirit. Then we find out, amen, he's not just the home of a foul spirit. He is possessed by legions of devils. Amen. A legion in the Roman army could be from 2,000 to 6,000. It's possible that this man had 6,000 demons in him. So we're told that these demons left this man. They entered in the swine a number of 2,000. So we know he had at least 2,000 demons on the inside. This man was totally under the control of the devil. And that's where the devil wants every one of us. Under his control. And until you get saved, you're going to be under the control of the devil. That's why you need Jesus. Because you don't ever know what the devil's going to get you into. This man's case is no different from the condition of many sinners in the lost world. Even the condition of some that's in our service tonight. In Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversations in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh in our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Amen. Jesus put it like this in John 8:44. He said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Amen. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Right. Two words factor heavily in this man's world: cemeteries and chains. Now it says he was living not in a house, but he was living in the tombs. Obviously, you couldn't have someone like this living with you in the house. What would you do with him today? We'd put him in prison. Put him in prison, we'd have to isolate him so he couldn't get to nobody else. Now today, what it done with people, we have drugs. And we get drugs in their system. Now demons can't be medicated. But since the human body can be medicated, it becomes less useful to them when they're medicated. But in those days, they couldn't control people with medication. They didn't have mental institutions to put people in. They didn't have a padded cell to put him in. This man had his dwelling among the tomb. The demons in him drove him away from the living, and he spent his life in the tombs. In those days, people wasn't buried in the ground. Tombs were carved in the hillsides, and bodies were placed there. Because of his demons, this man lived with the bones and the decaying corpse of the dead. We're also told that the people around him, from time to time, tried to restrain him. They would catch him. They would bind him with fetters and chains. Fetters would have been attached to his feet. Chains would have been bound on his hands and his arms. These man-made devices couldn't hold him. He broke these chains like there was a little piece of paper. When we look at this poor soul, amen, it's not hard to make the leap from him to lost ones around us. They're trapped in the same state of sinful depravity. The sin that possesses the heart of the lost sinner drives him to spend his days in waste among the dead. The lost sinner has no desire of being around the living. Death and the works of deadness are all they care about. Of course, a man has his methods of trying to conquer and cure all the problems that plague humanity. Man has his jails. Man has his prisons. Man has his institutions. Man has his asylums. Man has his pills that they push. They got their psychology to answer man's dilemma. The problem with man's efforts to cure humanity's problem is their efforts just treat the symptoms, not the cause of the situation. Amen. Jesus, when he came to this man, he didn't treat the symptom, he treated the cause. Man acts like he acts because he's a sinner. That's why men do what they do, is because they got a bad heart. And they're going to do what's in that bad heart. But thank God for Jesus. When you get old time salvation, he takes that old heart out and he gives you a brand new heart. That's why you live different, because you got a new heart. Lost people choose darkness over light because they hate light. Lost people choose sin over the Savior because they love evil and totally given over to its pursuit. Let me add, a professing Christian needs to examine his or her heart when they lose the desire to be in the house of God. You need to look at your spiritual condition when you don't have a desire to be in the house of God. When you can't sit still through the preaching service, you got a spiritual problem. When you find reasons to avoid the house of God, you got a spiritual problem. You're beginning to revert back to the ways of the old man. And that's a dangerous and a frightful place to be. Verse number 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself. Did you ever think about this man's desperation? Amen. Imagine the terror that this man calls. He's up there in the cemetery, and he's naked. He's running around in the cemetery and in the mountains like a wild man, screaming and hollering night and day. He cuts his body. His body is covered with blood and scars. Let me stop right there. Sinner, the longer you stay in sin, the more you're going to be scarred by sin. Sin scars individuals. Amen. These men at the mission, and I don't say this in no bad way, but you get around these men and it doesn't take very long to realize sin has scarred them for life. Even though you get saved, you still got the scars. And the longer you continue down the road of sin, the more scars you will carry the rest of your life. Thank God for this man. Thank God Jesus did a perfect work. But I believe he no doubt still had those scars that sin. These men in the mission, not just in Mississippi, but wherever you go, this giving themselves to the world and their teeth's fallen out. You know why? The drugs have rotten their teeth out. They've got physical problems. Amen. Booze will scar you. Amen. Living a life of sin will scar you for life. Smoking cigarettes will scar you. Amen. This man screams in his torment. Amen. Whether you're lost and bound by sin or whether you're backslid out of God's will, there's only one cure for your condition, and it's not a pill, it's not a psychiatrist, it's not the priest, it's not the pope, it's not a program. What you need tonight is Jesus. Amen. He's the antidote for the poison of sin. Amen. He's the cure for the sinner's condition. Amen. The Bergen family sings a song, amen, about there is a solution. I thank God tonight there's a solution. Amen. There's a solution. And he's the solution for your problem. Thomas said, you don't know what kind of problem I got. I know I don't know, but I know he's a solution for the problem that you got. That nobody else got the solution. Just Jesus has the solution. Amen. This man, my friend, is in a sad condition. It was horrible. Amen. It's severe. Thank God Jesus had a solution. Amen. In fact, there's people in this city. Amen. There's people right here tonight that's defiled, in a desperate condition. Amen. They need help. And there's just one source of help. There's not three. There's not two. There's just one source for help. And help's name is Jesus. Help's name is Jesus. I'm going to lift him up tonight. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Mark the 5th chapter, verse number 6 says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Everyone in that region no doubt feared this man. No doubt they fled in terror when he came near them. Amen. No doubt these people trembled in their houses when they heard the screams and the shrieks of his voice. No doubt they said, children, when you see the crazy man, run for your life. He's crazy. Stay away from him. Everyone avoided this man, but one man, Jesus, didn't avoid him. Amen. I'm glad Jesus didn't avoid me. Amen. There was nothing in me that he would want me, but thank God he didn't avoid me. Amen. Jesus Christ did not avoid this man. He made a special trip across the sea. He braved a storm simply because he wanted to deliver one man from the grip of Satan. You know what I say? That man must have been special. In the eyes of the world, there wasn't nothing special. But Jesus said, he's special. He's special. Amen. You must be special tonight. You know why? Because God's brought you through a lot of things. Amen. God came and made a way when there was no way. You know why? Because you're special tonight. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, the devil wants you to think, amen, there's no hope for you, but you're special. Amen. You know why you're special? Because long time ago, God gave his only son that you personally could have life. And have life more abundantly. That makes you special. Jesus Christ was willing to leave the glory world and come down here and take upon him a fleshly body. Amen. Live a holy life and then go to a cross and suffer pain and agony. You know why? Because he looked down here tonight. He thinks you're special. He believes you're special. Amen. He'd like to save you. It's his will to save you tonight. Everyone else feared this man and avoided this man. But thank God Jesus had compassion on him. God give us compassionate hearts. Amen. Jesus cared about the condition that he was in, and he moved to do something about it. Amen. This man wasn't even a Jew. He was a Gentile. And still, thank God, the Lord reached out to him. Thank God for the boundless love of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. When there's no hope, Jesus comes to our rescue. We see the people sometimes and we think, oh, he's a lost cause. She's a lost cause. He'll never get saved. She'll never get saved. Well, I can't tell you for sure, but I can look around in this building tonight and I see some men and women and some boys and girls that others wrote off as a lost cause. Till Jesus came into your life. We was a lost cause, but Jesus can make the difference. Amen. He loved you in spite of your sin. He came where you were and delivered you from the bondage that had you gripped. Oh, praise God for Jesus Christ. He loved you enough to die for you on the cross. Even while we were sinners, the Bible said, he loved us. And no one is beyond the compassionate touch of the Master. Amen. Not Zacchaeus in the top of the tree. Not Saul of Tarsus with the hate in his heart and his desire to destroy the church of God. Not even the Ethiopian eunuch with his religious confusion. Not even you tonight with all your baggage. There's a compassionate Savior waiting to set you free. Jesus sees the people with a different set of eyes than we do. Amen. We see their sins. He sees what he can make out of their lives. We see a drunk and God sees a deacon. We see a drug addict and God sees a preacher. We see a harlot and God sees a choir member. That's how lives are changed when they come to Jesus. He'll take what you give him and he'll give you something more precious. I promise you tonight, if you'll come and give Jesus your whole life, he'll give you something better than you ever imagined. Amen. You give him a crab apple and he'll give you a golden delicious. Amen. You give Jesus a thorn and he'll give you the rose of Sharon. You give Jesus an acorn and he'll give you a mighty oak. Give Jesus your Jacob, the schemer, and he'll give you an Israel, a prince with God. Yes, my friend, give Jesus a Simon, a cursing fisherman, and he'll give you back Simon Peter, a mighty preacher of the gospel. You give Jesus your Saul, a persecutor of the church, and he'll give you back Paul, a militant missionary, apostle. You give Jesus yourself, and you'll be amazed at what he can do in your life. It's amazing what Jesus can do when a life is placed in his hands. Oh, if you just place your life in his hands and quit trying to do all this on your own. Quit trying to turn over and leave and do better. Quit trying to reform yourself and just come to Jesus. Say, God, I can't do it. You're going to have to do it. That's what Jonah realized when he is down there in the belly of the whale. You know what he said? Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. I'm in a fix down here, and there's only one way I can get out of this. It's going to take the Lord. It's going to take his deliverance. Amen. Verse number 6, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. This man who ran from everyone else, he ran to the Lord Jesus and fell at his feet. The demons that drove him away from human relationships drove him to the feet of Jesus. Why? They did not fall down to really worship him as Lord. They merely fell down to acknowledge his deity. Amen. So just like the Bible says in James 2:19, the devils believe and tremble. The devils shudder. And the demonic representative of the group says in a loud voice, they're panicking. Amen. And he says in Mark 5:7, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Verse 9, and he asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Notice the change from singular, my name is, to plural, for we are many. The demon is panicked because he's in the presence of the sovereign God. He's in the presence of his executioner. He's in panic mode. Note that the demons had to ask permission from Jesus to go into the pigs. Don't ever make the mistake that thinking the demons are greater than Jesus. Don't ever think for a second that Satan is more powerful than God. Don't fall in the trap of treating Satan like he's a junior God with almost as much power as God. That is not true. Amen. Amen. Satan is a created being who can do nothing without God's permission. I like that, don't you? He got to get permission from God before he can do anything. He had to get permission from God before he touched Job. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou most high God? I'm telling you, the demons know who Jesus is. Some of the disciples wasn't sure, but the devils knew who he was. It's a strange, bizarre testimony, the reality of Jesus Christ. What have we to do with thee? Very much like the other demon in the 4th chapter, who essentially said the very same thing. What have we to do with you, Jesus? I beg you, Lord, don't torment us before our time. They know the Lord in heaven and earth. Amen. This is the creator of God in human form. This is God the Son, the Most High. The demons knew him well. And Jesus confronts the demons to release this man. The demons request that they might be allowed to enter in the herd of swine that was feeding nearby. And Jesus gave them permission. And as soon as he gave them permission, they all went and committed suicide. Amen. You know what's amazing? In the Old Testament, when God talks about his power, he talks about his arm. The arm of God. But Jesus said, I can conquer the kingdom of hell with my finger. Amen. That's how much power he's got. I can conquer the kingdom of hell with my finger. They recognized his power. Amen. Think about it. I said, according to the Romans, this could be as many as 6,000 demons. If you do the math, there's 2,000 swine. That's like 3 demons per pig. And they couldn't tolerate the presence of the devil and committed suicide. The pigs couldn't stand the demons, yet this man was able to live with all of them. Listen, this illustrates the human capacity for evil. The human capacity for evil. Verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Every effort man had failed, this poor soul, everything he tried to regain a grip on his soul, failed. But with one word, Jesus, thank God, set him free. He was changed by the power of Jesus. When the pigs ran down the mountain and killed themselves, the servants who was tending the pigs got concerned, and they ran and told the people in the city what had taken place. Amen. This man, I believe he could sing the song with the quartet tonight. He didn't leave me the way he found me. Praise God. He don't leave us the way he finds us. You know what I like about this? He didn't say, now I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cast out half of the demons and come back in about 3 weeks and I'll sanctify you and get rid of the rest of them. He got rid of all of them. Every time you read in the Bible, what did Jesus do? When he touched somebody, he made them whole. He didn't make them halfway whole. He made them altogether whole. And it's still that way today. When God saves you, he don't do a halfway job. Thank God he makes you whole. So that means you don't have sin left in the heart. Amen. Jesus clothed him. Said he found him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now, I'm not too smart, but I figured this out. If you don't have your clothes on, you're not in your right mind. Amen. Somebody said, well, I got some clothes on. I got my bikini on. Well, then you only got an eighth of your mind. Amen. Jesus clothed him. He's in his right mind. Jesus started on the inside. That's where he always starts. And it worked to the outside. Amen. Cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside may become clean also. Thank God he cleans us up on the inside, and that works to the outside. And I'm convinced, friend, people claim to have been saved for years and years and years and years and never get cleaned up on the outside. They must have not really got cleaned up on the inside. Jesus calmed him. He's in his right mind now. He's been changed. Oh, you can apply 2 Corinthians 5:17 to him, can't you? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Verse 17, he began to pray him. When these people found out what was going on, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. When he was come into the ship, that he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Now let me tell you something, friend. When Jesus started changing things, the people prayed him to get out of here. You know, people, they might make a profession and not get salvation. And you know, some folks, when you start laying down the word of God, they're gonna say, I don't want nothing to do with that. When you start proclaiming all the word of God, then they say, this is not the kind of Jesus that I want. Amen. When you refuse to give Jesus a little more because it's going to interfere with your life and your routine, you have a problem. Most folks today just want enough Jesus to make them feel good and keep them out of hell. But Jesus is not a good luck charm. He's a life-changing, eternity-altering Savior. He wants more than just a few hours of your week. He wants everything you got. Amen. And we better be careful how we treat the Lord. Because I read where they said, we don't want you here. We want you to leave. And he left, and I never read in the Word of God where he ever came back. You might just get what you want. Now I believe I'm standing up here, and behind me are men of God that preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. I believe these pastors preach the truth. And if one of these men is your pastor, you need to thank God that you got a man that does not water down the word of God, that'll stand and tell you what sin is, what is right, and what's wrong. And a man that will pat sin on the back, don't love your soul. A man that loves your soul will tell you the truth. You know, I'd rather have a pastor that maybe went over to the extreme a little bit than to get one that watered down the word of God. Wouldn't you? I really would. And when I think about this, I think about my dad. He had a custom butchering plant in Winchester, Indiana. And we had strict inspectors. We could never butcher a beef or a hog or a sheep or a goat unless the inspectors were there. They inspected every animal before we killed it, and they were standing there watching every move that we made until it was washed and in the cooler. And I'm telling you, some of them men, I remember Dr. Blake, he was so strict on us, and he would find things. If you didn't leave something for him to find, he would hunt till he found something and write you up. He'd write you up every single week, and before you could butcher again, you had to bring that up to date. He was a strict inspector. Dr. Wilburn, he was strict. Oh my, he was so, he'd take a white cloth and reach down underneath a table somewhere and say, look at that. I mean, they were strict. If anybody I ever hated, because I wasn't saved, it was them inspectors. Man, they called me a lot of grief. But we did have one good one. We said he was good. And he, them head men wasn't around, he would get right in there and help us work. And he never wrote us up. I mean, he just, my mom would fix a big dinner for us all. And he loved my mom's cooking. And I mean, we were good friends. And my brothers, you know, Dave and Steve and Bob, we told Dad, said, Dad, we never had an inspector like George Perry. He's so good to us. Dad said, no, he's not your friend. He said, George Perry's the biggest enemy we got. And I thought my dad lost his mind. I said, what do you mean? He's good to us, Dad. He said, you know what? They come from Indianapolis once a year. The head men, three men from Indianapolis, they come in here and they're going to go through this place. And if we had George Perry for an inspector all the time, we would be flunked the final inspection. And we'd have a big long list of stuff to do. He said, we're better off with Dr. Wilburn. We're better off with Dr. Yates because they keep us up to date. And that's the way it is with a preacher. Some preachers will let you by with anything. You can do whatever you want to do. Amen? But there's coming a final inspection. Amen? Coming a final inspection. And brother, on that day, you're going to thank God. Praise God, I had a preacher that told it like it was and called sin, sin. You might not like it tonight, but you'll like it on that day. None of that was in my notes, I'm sorry. The response of the people. Jesus came to bring life to the people, but they chose death. He came to bring freedom, but they chose bondage. He came to bring light, but they preferred darkness. You would think that these people would be grateful that a dangerous man has been healed, cured, fully clothed, in his right mind, delivered by Jesus Christ, but it was not so. As the word spread like wildfire, a great crowd gathered, amazed at what they see. A former madman is a new man. He now sits quietly at the feet of Jesus, calm, clothed in his right mind. The man they called crazy was now perfectly normal. The man that ran around naked was now fully clothed. The man that broke the chains was now sitting at the feet of Jesus. The man that had a legion of demons is now sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was made completely whole. Jesus can do that for you tonight. No matter what kind of shape your life's in, He can make you completely whole. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Some are apt to ask Jesus to depart when He comes too close and crimps their cherished plans. People want a Gentile Jesus who'll keep His nose out of their business and take them to heaven but won't interfere with the way they live on earth. They wanted Jesus to build their self-esteem and make them happy, but we want nothing to do with the Lord who calls us to take up the cross and follow Him. And more than a few people today hear the gospel and they say, if Jesus really comes in, something else will have to go, and I don't want to let it go. Now, what I like about this man, he's all into Jesus. He can't stay away from Him. And Jesus, you can imagine how he felt. He's getting ready to leave, and all these people's mad that Jesus has been there. He said, I'll tell you what, I want to go home with you. I want to get on the boat. I want to go home with you. Kind of weird, ain't it? That'd be like somebody getting saved one of my revivals and say, where's your camper at? I'm going to live with you. Amen. That's the way it was with him. You know, I like what Jesus said. No. You go right back over here. All these people in this town, they saw how you used to be. Amen. I want you to go and tell your friends how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish how great things Jesus did for him, and the men did marvel. That was a commission. And that's the commission God's given every one of us. There's not a greater testimony. People might argue with you about the millennium. They might argue with you about the rapture. They might argue with you about the scriptures. But when they see your changed life, they can't argue with that. Amen. That's what we are to do. Go out here in a lost and dying world. We don't have to get in an argument about doctrine all the time. There'll come a time for that. What we need to do, I just want to tell you what Jesus did for me. I was lost. I was bound by the habits of life. But God had mercy on me. And God saved me. And he picked me up out of the depths of sin. He put my feet on a solid rock. Praise be unto God. He put a new song in my mouth. Jesus did it for me. I could never do it myself, but God did it. Oh, thank God for Jesus Christ. Nothing is more powerful than a testimony of a changed life. Jesus had a mission for this man, and you're needed here, and he's got a mission for you. Jesus found a demoniac and left behind a missionary. And everybody in this building is either a missionary or a mission field. What are you? Think about it. Every one of us. We're either a missionary or we're a mission field. And God is saying to the church, go back to your classroom. Go back to your factory. Go back to your office. Go back to your shop. Go back to your company. Go back to your classmates. Go back to your family. Go back to your neighborhood and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. In closing, what has you bound tonight? What are you struggling with? Are you lost and in the grip of sin, no matter the situation, I thought today, preparing this message, if Jesus can change this man, he can change anybody. Amen. If he can save him, he can save anybody in this building tonight. Are you out of God's will? Trapped in pride and bitterness and unforgiveness? Jesus can set you free. Do you need his touch tonight? I know some of you. You need the touch of God. Do you need his life-changing power? Friend, what you need is a prayer of faith away. Come to Jesus. Come home. Obey his voice. Somebody said he didn't weather no storm to get to me. Yes, 2,000 years ago, he weathered the storm of Calvary to get to you. He's calling you. Jesus can deliver you from Satan, deliver you from the power of darkness. Through Jesus Christ, you can have the power to live a victorious life. To all those who come to the cross of Christ, confessing and repenting sins, their lives are changed. No evil habit is beyond the power of Jesus. No sin is beyond his forgiveness. No human situation is beyond his touch. If your life is in a mess, ask Jesus to deliver you. Ask him to change you. Ask him to chase away the demons out of your life. Ask him to take away the torment. Ask him to change you from the inside out. Come humbly to Jesus. Ask him to be your Savior. Ask him to be your Lord. Run to the cross tonight. Lay your burdens at the cross. Those of you who are struggling with things, come to Jesus. He can break whatever has you bound, whatever you're struggling with. I preach a message of victory. I preach a message of deliverance. Amen. Be surprised that people have come to me and said, and it's nothing that I done. It's the word of God. Thank you for that message on the covenant with eyes. The victory that it has given me is wonderful. Amen. There's victory no matter what the situation is. If you come to Christ, amen, he will turn to you and not turn you away. Amen. Father in heaven, we have striven tonight to the best of our ability.